Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
So how excited on a scale of 1 to 10 are you about our up and coming glamping trip?
Oh my gosh. Oh my God. I actually I want to say 10 because actually I am really excited because I'm excited to see you and I'm excited to see the kids. I'm excited for the kids to see each other.
Yes.
There's a lot that I'm excited for. I'm not excited about like no power, like no hair tongs. I can't do my like proper face routine.
No,
like,
that would be looming large, I think, on your agenda. I'm more concerned about the rain. It's going to be raining all weekend.
Oh, what? Do you know what though? I think it's not like we're going for 2 weeks.
No,
and we can cope with it. And I think it will be fun if we just like don't worry about our appearance
I'm not worried about that. I'm gonna be so drunk, like, I think.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think we just need to make the best of it, don't we? I mean I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Have you been camping before?
Yes, of course. I mean, like as a child we used to go camping a lot. Like camping loomed large in our lives, and we used to go to France, and so it was generally quite warm. We used to go and like drive across, get on the ferry, and then go driving through France and like pitch up tents places and stay in Chambredos and do all that kind of shit. So like, I love it. I really do love it. Taking the kids camping, however, we've only done once before, and that wasn't proper camping. So I think this is just going to be, they are so excited. We had the blow up beds arrive today. Like the grown ups have got, like, so you and James have got a proper bed, we've got a proper bed, but then the kids are on blow ups on the floor in the tents. Is that right?
Yeah. That's what I'm doing. In fact, actually, I've just thought about that. I didn't get one for Gigi. So she'll be in a cot which she can climb out of.
As long as you don't send her towards my tent, I'm fine.
Yeah, in fact, yeah, no, I will. I'll just leave a little light outside your chair that she can guide herself.
I would just like to say as well, to anyone that does proper camping, this, Georgia just said, have you been proper camping? This is not that, is it? This is glamping. Like there's a bar and a barbecue and stuff. So we're going to have a great
time.
But
I feel like this is a beginner's. For me, I have genuinely never been camping, ever. Ever, ever, ever before. The only time I've ever slept in a tent was in a neighbour's garden. And even then, my dad came to get me at like 10 o'clock because he was like, she's going to hate this. And then also, my husband is the type of person that asks for a pillow menu when you go to a hotel.
What?
So we're probably not like the best people, but we're just going to throw ourselves right in. So I think glamping is like our limit right now, but we might love it. And then next year, we'll be like proper campers.
Proper glampers.
You just don't know, do you?
Plus also, I'm throwing Georgia into the deep end because we're basically going away with 25 of my mates. Georgia hasn't met any of them yet. But I just think we're going to have such a good time. There'll be lots of drinking, lots of like kids playing together. And we're going to the pub on Saturday. If it's a washout, we'll just go to the pub and decamp there.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be fine. But it's exciting.
It's exciting. Now, off the back of our wonderful podcast on Tuesday with Illy Morrison, we decided to have a conversation around birth. Obviously, Illy is a mum, a midwife, and she's a birth debrief facilitator. I still find that hard to say, where she basically you know, offers a service where people can come and talk to her about their traumatic births and try and process them and try and be okay with them again.
Yeah, like they sort of like unpick what yes. happened, like come to terms with it. I think it is a service that you can request, you know, like through your, you know, wherever you give birth, you can kind of request it. But there, as far as I know, there's not really anyone else doing this in the same way that she does. And gosh, like even just speaking to friends who've listened to the podcast, they're so excited by this service and they think it's going to help so many people. So yeah, I mean, it's something we didn't know about.
No, absolutely
before.
Not.
So I'm
could
hoping
have done with it, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping that anyone who listened to it, you know, listened to the podcast, or if you haven't, then go back and have a listen. You know, there might be someone who you can point in Illy's direction, or you might want to speak to her yourself. So,
although I heard Illy talking yesterday on her Instagram, and she was like, "Oh, you know, I've had a few more bookings, and actually, I've only got one booking left for September. So yeah. I think you've got to be quite quick. I think she's a lady in demand. But obviously, yes, Georgia and I. One of our favourite things to do is to ask people about their birth stories, and we love talking about our own experiences as well. And I think actually we both kind of go up and down with regards to the fact that we're not going to go through the process of giving birth again. And I actually replay mine quite a lot and think, what would I have done differently on reflection? And, you know, the first time round was so traumatic for me that the second time round I just wanted to take away all of the pain and all of the exhaustion and just get the epidural done quite early. So... yeah, how do you feel about yours?
I came away from both feeling quite positive, and I'm pretty lucky to, you know, to feel that way, I think. Yeah, both my experiences were positive, but they were both completely different. So with Axel, I was induced, I had an epidural, I was, you know, on the labour ward. Whereas with Gigi, it was all very, very, very quick, like no pain relief, just... And I don't feel like any more proud of either. Do you know what I mean? I feel great about both of them.
That's great, George.
Yeah, I know. I do feel lucky that I had a good experience both times. And I think that comes down to lots of different reasons. So I think the care that I had, we both lived in Cheltenham, we were out of London. And I think the hospital was probably, they're not as busy. So I did get some really good care in Gloucester. And I had an epidural, and it was all, you know, my induction process actually went quite well. You hear horror stories about inductions. Yeah. You know, it's the one thing that people kind of try not to, they don't want to do. They think it's either it can take ages and you have to go on a drip and all this kind of stuff. With me, like I literally had a pessary. I walked to like Costa at the front of the hospital and I was like, no, that's it. We've got to turn around and go back. I took to it really quickly. So it might not have actually been the induction that brought on the labour. It might have been the sweep beforehand. Do you know what I mean? You just never know. But it was so quick that I don't know if that's normal for an induction. I don't know. But
it's an interesting one because lots of people don't want to hear about other people's births. In fact, some people are kind of like, nope, don't tell me. I don't want to hear, because, you know, they maybe hear the horror stories. And that's why George's birth stories are so interesting, because they're really positive experiences. And actually, some people that have been on the podcast, like Nadia Zawala, who was one of our, I think she was like our second guest on the podcast, spoke about her home births and, you know, thinking that she was channeling that her vagina was made from butter. Do you remember?
Your vagina is butter.
It's butter. Yeah. And then the baby just came out. And I was like, oh, my vagina was literally like double-sided sticky gaffer tape. It was like, is there a baby going to come out of here anytime soon? So yeah, every labour is different. But we're going to answer your questions today. And lots of people looking back on their births and lots of people currently pregnant and asking for advice. So do you want to kick us off, George?
Yeah, let's start with this one. How did you find birth, worse or better than you expected?
That's from another Zoe.
Yeah, it's from Zoe.
Well, I think let's be really honest here. My first one was worse.
Yeah.
Much, much worse. But I went into it with like one of those big old shire horses that had those blinkers on, you know, the ones that are just like, no, it's going to be fine. I'm just going to give birth in the water. And that's just what's going to happen. And then obviously everything went tits up and it just turned into something completely different. So I wish, but that actually I learned so much from my labour that actually it not just about birth, but about myself as a person, that it's much, much better to go into a situation for me armed with more information and armed. I need to be much more flexible in life. Like, I was quite sort of rigid in terms of, like, I had an idea, I would go for it, a bit of a Rottweiler. And now I'm much more tepid and gentle. Can you believe that? Am I? I am.
I think you are. Yeah. Yeah. I would never describe you as a Rottweiler, ever.
Oh, really?
No.
I think maybe when it comes to work and stuff, I can be quite, I'm really ambitious, not hopefully not in an ugly way, but I just know, you know, I know what I want and I have to fight quite hard to get it. And I think I sort of saw labour like that, you know.
Like a challenge.
Like a challenge.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
What about you?
Mine definitely were better than I expected. I think with Axel, I was 2 weeks overdue. And that's, you know, that's the thing. When you're out and about, people are like, oh, how long have you got? And I'm there going, well, I'm actually 2 weeks over. And they look at you like, oh my God, that's awful. But actually, I didn't feel like that. I didn't feel like it was awful. I wasn't really that bothered that it was 2 weeks over. I was quite happy, like, prancing around Cheltenham. It was a really sunny summer and I was like, well, this is actually fine. And so then, like, the whole induction thing, I guess in my head everyone had said it was going to be bad and then it wasn't. So and again, like, you kind of had an expectation when you went in, whereas maybe if I'd have gone into labour naturally, I might have had an expectation. But because all of that expectation had been taken away, where I'd gone over and I knew that there was going to have to be some intervention, like, I knew that, like, that there wasn't a question over that. It was going to have to be, because I was going to be induced. I was just kind of set up for, like, I'll just do what I'm told, almost.
Sure.
You know, like, I'll be induced, and then if the pain gets too much and they say to me, would you like something, I'll say yes, and then that will be, you know, and then it will just go on from there. I have to say, I did learn in my first birth, though, that I absolutely hated the water. Like, I hated it. They put me in, like, the bath or whatever. It wasn't a pool, it was definitely a bath.
They put you in the bath?
Yeah, you know, like, it wasn't a birthing pool. Like, I saw that.
What are they doing, just saying, get this one in to have
a wash? It was just like, yeah, she stinks. It was a big bath. It wasn't like, it didn't feel like a bath, but I hated it. I got in there and all I felt was hot and bothered. And I was like, no, this does not work for me. Get me out of here. I'm actually quite happy just laying on the bed. I was fine.
Yeah, so some people hate just lying on the bed. It's so different, isn't it?
I know, I got
in the birthing pool, and I remember us trying to watch, we were watching Narcos at the time, about Pablo Escobar.
Yeah.
I do remember this. And every time we put an episode on, then I'd have these contractions that felt like, because Luna was back-to-back, spine-on-spine, the contractions were just almost like riding through constantly. So there'd be periods where they'd just be going on. And obviously I wasn't watching. And then I'd come up for air and I'd be like, what's just happened? He'd be like, oh, I'll just rewind it. And then after sort of the 10th time of him going, can you rewind it? He'd be like, I'm not rewinding this episode again. You are now not part of Narcos. I was like, oh, okay. One of the funny things that happens during labour. Let's take this from Danielle. I went for lunch on my due date and ended up giving birth in an ambulance on the way home. Wow.
Oh my God. Do you know what? When I was pregnant with Gigi, there was a lady who I would speak to on Mama's, like, just in the DMs. I can't remember her name. I thought it might have been Izzy. And she gave birth literally the day before I had Gigi. And she messaged me. She was like, I've given birth. I gave birth on the sofa this afternoon. And I was
Oh my God.
And you do hear about these stories, don't you? Like, people literally just go out and they come back with a baby. Like, just go out for the day and then come back.
What an amazing tale to tell. Like, just on the sofa, just, you know, trying to get to the hospital. But no, but I mean, look, some people choose, it wasn't time, exactly.
This is from Julia. Best piece of advice for immediately after the birth for mums and partners?
My best piece of advice is to work as a team. And, you know, even if you're listening to this and you're a single parent, but you've got your buddy or, you know, one of your parents or your best mate around you, you've got to work as a team in those moments. It's almost like the most incredible 400 meter relay that you've ever seen. It's like the baby's the baton and you just have to hand it over. And then whilst the other person's doing that leg, you have to sleep or rest or shower. And I think, really, really going easy on yourself in those first few months, you know, just like, even if you don't get out the house for days, that's absolutely fine. I was just so desperate to return to normal. You know, I wanted to feel like myself and look like myself that a second time round, I was just so much more chilled and just, I really enjoyed that process second time round more.
Yeah, definitely. And I was just going to say, like, what she kind of says about immediately after birth, I would literally, whoever it is who's given birth, rest, because, you know, the second you get home, you're not, like, you're on your own, but you kind of, you know, you sort of are. It's just whoever you, who it is who you're bringing the baby up with, it's just, you know, it's just you. And when you're in the hospital, you can actually rest. Like, you can just lay there. There's nothing else that you need to do other than just make sure the baby's okay. Like, you don't have to, you know, cook for yourself. You don't have to get yourself a drink. You don't have to worry about anything else. And I do think it's so important to try and rest, like, while you can, and get all the advice as well while you're in the hospital.
But if you give birth at home, which a lot of people listening to this will have done, still take that rest. Don't be frightened to your partner, please, you know, can you get me some water, or can you get me toast, or can you bring me this? Because, you know, if you're one of those people that likes to be active and kind of is a bit of a go-getter and whatever aspect of your life, you might find it quite difficult just to stop that. Actually, don't miss that moment.
Exactly.
It goes too quickly.
It does. Oh, look, there's another one here. I had my second daughter in my bathroom, totally unplanned, but I progressed so much faster.
Wow.
No, amazing.
That's amazing.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Katrina's just messaged saying, it's a lot. Emergency C-section, baby in NICU, and millions of visitors. Too much.
Yeah, true.
That sounds a
Absolutely.
Lot.
Absolutely, it does. That sounds like a real lot to take on.
All those millions of visitors as well. No, thank you.
I know.
Tell them to
I
go.
I made that mistake. I made that mistake twice, actually, really, you know, when you think about it. In fact, my in-laws came round, right, so I gave birth to Gigi tonight, and literally it was very, very quick. But I did actually stay overnight in the hospital because they didn't have the paediatrician or whatever on hand to check her over. So I'd been in the hospital, but I didn't have any plans to stay in. So James and my mum hadn't left me with any money to buy any food or, you know, like anything. I was just there thinking I was going to get to go home in like 20 minutes and just kept going on and on. So by the time I got home, I was just so exhausted and so like, I just want to go to bed. And my in-laws turned up with a bottle of Whispering Angel and I sat drinking rosé.
Oh God, how fabby though. At least it wasn't like your 10 quid bottle from the spa.
Yeah, but seriously though, like what? I hadn't even like had a, you know, I hadn't even had a second.
It's too much.
Like, it was too much. It really was.
And actually it's quite disarming sometimes when people just sort of want to be there, and it's really hard to say to people, could you go now?
Even just a day. Like, you just need a day to put yourself back together, especially like close relatives. Yeah, I mean, no, but you know, like, say for instance, my mum, I would have my mum around the second after. And, you know, I wouldn't want James to not have that equivalent, like, for him. But I do think you need like just some time to piece yourself, like, and kind of get your head around what's just happened.
Totally.
Because I was still in like a complete blur at that point.
Absolutely.
Essentials for hospital bag. That's from Hannah.
George.
We have got a hospital highlight on our Instagram page, so that's always good to go back and have a look. But I don't think you really need that much. Obviously, you need all the stuff for baby, like plenty of baby grows, which I made the mistake of not doing the first time round, like the hats and the nappies and all of those kind of things. But for yourself, I would just make sure you have flip-flops because it's not that nice to walk around the hospital in like socks or bare feet, really. Like some nice socks for when you're in bed. Something that's going to make you feel nice. So even if you can't, you know, get into the bathroom and fully wash your face, just some wipes or a spritzer for your face. I find that because hospitals are so hot, aren't they? That's really nice. Snacks. Oh my gosh, so many snacks. And I've made that mistake twice as well. Not enough snacks. No. All I took was Pick-a-Mix. And actually, after eating a full bag of Pick-a-Mix, you feel quite sick and you crave something that's like
not Pick-a-Mix.
Lots of sugary.
Yeah, totally. I think a really nice cleansing balm. That was one thing that I absolutely loved having with me because and a flannel. So you can do like a hot, you know what that feeling where you've been through it and all you want to do is wash your face and do like, it's almost like having a sort of deep, well, it's a reset. So yeah, definitely that really, really helped. And like Georgia said, like a mist or a spritz or something. Also, I got really dry in the hospital. So like I packed a body lotion, I packed some Dr. Pawpaw for my lips. My lips were getting really dry and I used them on my hands and nails as well. And then obviously things like just like endless pairs of underwear, really nice loungewear set or some leggings,
water bottle, like all those kind of, yeah.
Definitely go and check out our highlights for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, look, tore in three places, scarring only healed after 2 years, has put me off having baby number two.
You hear this a lot, actually.
Well,
yeah,
absolutely would.
This, you know, you might be a good person, like, and a good candidate to go and speak to someone like Illy, because I haven't had a traumatic birth, so it's easy for me to sit here and say like you shouldn't let that deter you from having a second child, because you know obviously it's going to, but I guess you want to address it, like you really want to address it and make sure that that's not the thing that's standing in your way of doing it.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, I feel like I would be exactly the same.
Yeah, definitely. And just to that person, I hear you. Like my episiotomy was horrendous. My tear was savage the second time round. And like sometimes I would sort of touch myself and I would be like, that doesn't feel like my vagina anymore. And it was really traumatic for me, you know. And even now sometimes, you know, I still look at it and I think, oh, and that still triggers quite a lot, you know, even though I feel okay now and I'm kind of recovered. My body is definitely different. That's a level of acceptance. But like Georgia said, processing what happened to you and knowing that just because it's happened once doesn't mean it will happen again is really, really important for your kind of healing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Birthed my first on the bathroom floor, not planned. Birthed my second at home in a pool. That's from Grace.
Oh, Grace, what? Brilliant. I mean, in home in a pool, brilliant.
I know. And I feel like if you've had one child at home and it's been successful, then you're like a prime candidate, aren't you, to do it again? And you probably feel like it's the best thing for you.
I'd love to hear the preamble to Grace birthing her first on the bathroom floor, not planned. Like what happened to that point? Because you hear that, don't you, that lots of people just stay at home. They think they haven't progressed that far. And then suddenly there's a head poking out.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know what? I don't know if you used to read these kind of magazines, but I always, when I was younger and not planning to have children yet, I used to read magazines about like, I went into the bathroom and I didn't know I was pregnant and a baby came out.
Yeah.
And I was so horrified by these stories. It was like they followed me around. And even like my work colleagues used to be like, you need to stop reading this stuff. But I became so engrossed with these stories. I felt like that was going to happen to me, like all the time. I felt like if I went to the toilet, it was going to happen to me, and I was going to be one of those people that came out with a baby.
What, even when you weren't pregnant? No.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, because that's what the stories used to say. Like people not knowing that they were pregnant, and then they would go into the toilet and go into. I was just going for a number two,
and then suddenly, oh look, there's little Johnny in the bottom of the. That's funny, George. Everything I'd wished for: hypnobirthing in water, gas and air, 5.5 hours total. What a positive birth story. That's brilliant.
Yeah, but there's another one here: induction and forceps put off anymore. How do I get over the first birth? I think, you know, we've obviously spoken about this a lot. It is about having a debrief, going through exactly what happened, and also knowing that every birth is completely different.
Yeah.
We've both had two completely different births. So it doesn't, just because something happened the first time, it does not mean it's going to happen the second time.
Totally agree. Have either of you had a postnatal assessment with a women's physio? Is it worth it? That's from Amy.
Yes.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, both of us.
Yes, totally worth it.
And yeah, absolutely. Best thing you could do. I think I paid about 75 quid for mine, I want to say. And it was probably the best £75 I've ever spent because,
yeah,
you know, it's easy, isn't it? Like, you maybe go and spend £75 on a couple of dresses in Zara or whatever. And, yeah, they, you know, you maybe don't wear them again after a couple of years. But going to see a women's physio after you've given birth, that is something that is going to help you for your whole life. So yeah, if you can, it's important.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, Georgia was the one that said to me, look, why don't you book in to see somebody? If you have a little Google, I love Claire Bourne, pelvic health physiotherapy. She came around to the house. She was absolutely wonderful. Obviously, it's fairly full on kind of with somebody that you've only just met,
yeah,
but you know, we've been through labor, so all that sort of goes out the window. And I sort of explained what was going on with my pelvic floor and obviously, you know, the tearing and everything else and just all the issues that I had. And she was amazing. Because of the tearing and obviously the nerves that had been cut when I had the episiotomy, I had no feeling down there. So I was trying to work on my pelvic floor, but because the nerves had been severed, I just couldn't feel it. So I was actually squeezing my bum and not squeezing my pelvic floor. Anyway, so she identified all of that and I've had really good progress. I've spoken about this before, but it's definitely, definitely worth the money.
Yeah. And also just to flag, like, I went to see, mine, well, she came to me actually about, I think it was like maybe 8 weeks after I had Gigi, and so I didn't even know if I had any issues yet. And she said that it was really nice for someone to go to her without like saying, oh, I've got all of these problems, because if you just go straight away, you almost can nip the problems that you might have had in the bud. Like, they don't become problems because you've been there early, she's told you what to do, she's aided your recovery, you've not gone and started exercising, yeah, without seeing. And I do, I just think it's invaluable. There's sort of a network of women's physios and they come under like Mummy MOT. So if you don't, yep, live in London and you can't see the ones that we've mentioned before, then go on the Mummy MOT website and you can find one in your area. Basically, there's loads.
Amazing, amazing.
Lisa, if you could do it all again, would you have a home birth due next month?
No.
No.
Not for me. Not for me, though. But I love hearing about home births. And I think, great if that's where your head is at. But for me, I'm a bit of a control freak. And I just needed to know that all of the things were around me, that if anything went wrong or went wrong with baby, you know, I just felt safer there. That was just me personally.
Yeah.
Plus I was in a rented, I think if you own your home and it's where you love, like, I was looking at my shitty curtains going like, oh, I hate these curtains. And I didn't really want to give birth next to them. Do you know what I mean? Because they weren't mine. So maybe that was my thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
what about you?
I don't know because if I'd have known how my birth with Gigi was going to go, then yes, I would have rather have been at home because it would have been so much better just to get into my own bed after. But yeah, I didn't know that was going to happen. So it's very easy to sit here and go, yeah, I'd love to do a home birth. But like you, I don't know if that happened. The birth was easy because I felt relaxed, and I was relaxed because I had medical professionals around me. If I was at home, would I have felt like that? I don't know. Probably not. It's nothing I'd never considered it before. One of my best mates had a home birth and it was amazing, her third. So
was that Lucy?
Yeah, Lucy. Yeah. She had her first. She gave birth in her bathroom, actually.
Yeah, bathroom
seems to be the place.
The real hot room of the house, isn't it?
So I think it's easier to clean up. I think that was what her husband was like, ushering her from the rug in their bedroom into the bathroom. Like, do not give birth on this rug. So, yeah.
This is from Tash. Her head moved down, called 999. 4 minutes later, she was here. My now ex-partner caught her and delivered her without any paramedics. So surreal, yet so special.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
That is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That's incredible.
This is interesting. Advice on just telling them you're coming in to give birth. Last time, they wouldn't listen to me. That's from Joe. I think you hear this so often, like so often, that you phone, you know, you phone the, whatever it's, the, what's it called? The birth suite, whatever, wherever the place you go to.
The midwife-led unit or the hospital trust.
You phone the hospital. There we go. You phone the hospital and you say, yeah, I think I'm in labour. And they almost go through all the questions with you. And usually they don't believe that you are in labour. And maybe half the time you're not. And they're probably right. But I know for me, when I arrived at the hospital with Gigi and I said, please, I don't want to go in. My words were, I don't want to go in the hippy dippy section. That's exactly what I said. Take me straight to the labour ward. I'd like an epidural. And they literally looked at me like, you can speak. You're not getting an epidural. Then when they actually checked me over, they were like, oh, okay. Yep. Cool. Let's take you on for pushing. Do you know what I mean? So they didn't believe that I was in labour, and they probably would have sent me home. Like if it had been another day or they'd have been busy, they probably would have sent me home. And I do think you have to be really kind of, you have to know, you just know, you just have to be forceful, not forceful, I don't mean that, but just very direct, as in,
yes,
I know how, you know, I know how I feel when I'm in labour. I've done this before. I get it, you know, I feel,
if
yeah.
If you haven't done it before.
It's hard, no, if you haven't done it before, I think it's very hard. Yeah. It's very hard to say. Because you don't know, do you? You don't know how you're going to feel. I mean, you'd know if you felt like you needed to push, I'm sure.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's about the contractions, isn't it? And they say you have to have 3 in 10. Is that right?
I don't know. I couldn't even count.
We've done it twice. Do we even know?
I couldn't even count. I didn't
really. I wish I'd stayed at home longer. I mean, I was in that midwife-led unit in Cheltenham for like 2 days, not progressing. Baby, I mean, it was just a nightmare. So hang on at home for as long as you can. But obviously don't get to a situation if you don't want to give birth at home that you're doing a Helen Skelton.
Yeah, that would have been me. James was trying to get me to watch the rest of PS I Love You because he said like the oxytocin or whatever would kick in and help me. Yeah. But actually, if we'd have watched the end, Gigi was born by the end of the film. Do you know what I mean? Like she would have been born. So that would not have worked. Or maybe it would. Who knows?
Who knows? 28 weeks, top tips for preparation for giving birth. Georgia, top three tips.
Top three tips. This is the most annoying thing to say to someone. But honestly, try to feel relaxed and calm. I think that's like the number one tip, isn't it? It's like do whatever will make you feel relaxed and calm. Like Zoe said, for her, she needed to know all of the information. She needed to know exactly what could have happened to feel calm. For me, I was a little bit more, I'll just have my head in the clouds and just not think about what could happen and I'll be all right.
Yeah.
It's about just making sure you feel as relaxed as you possibly can do going into a situation like that. And so like whether that's, you know, listen to podcasts, whether that's listen to some hypnobirthing stuff, whether that's, you know, just preparing, like feeling prepared, getting your house prepared, if that makes you feel better. I think it's just about doing what is going to make you feel the most relaxed.
I completely agree. That's a great bit of advice. Yeah, my top tip, and I wish I'd done more of this, is the perineal massage, because I actually was convinced that because I was quite strong and I was quite fit, I'd be able to push Luna out quite quickly. But actually, I think because I was kind of holding everything, because I was so sort of tense and tight, I didn't do any massage in that area at all. And actually, I've heard some really fantastic results from doing that weeks before you go and have the baby. So just make sure that area is like being massaged and, you know, being sort of taken care of, because it is a muscle. If that muscle's really tense, if you're tense, that muscle's tense, you know, we know what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And actually as well, it's like preparing your skin as well so that it can stretch.
Yeah.
Also, I've heard of this thing where it's like, it's almost like stretching the area. It's like a balloon you use. I can't remember what it's called, but there is something you can do to almost like prepare yourself. Maybe, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think Vogue Williams may have spoken about it on the podcast.
We need to get Vogue back on.
Yes, we do. So maybe have a little Google about things like that you can do, because that's definitely worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
But other than that, my God, 28 weeks, just Enjoy your time.
Enjoy your free time. thank you so much. That is all we've got time for this week. As always, another brilliant Q&A. Your questions always absolutely fascinating. So thank you, because we couldn't do these Friday episodes without you. And every week we get more and more questions coming in. We do try and get through them all as well. So sorry if we didn't get to your question this week, but try again next week. And please, please, please rate, review, subscribe and follow the podcast. We would love a little review if you've got time to do one as well.
Yeah, please do. And any suggestions as always, please just drop us a DM. We're on at Made by Mummers or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman. And we'll be back next week. Made by Mummers is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the wonderful Imogen Hart.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.